The lesson tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 28, the superiority of Christ's high priestly sacrifice. We live in an era of great need for an encouraging word amid man's discouraging spiritual failure. So a word from God on the infinite supremacy and the sufficiency of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is both desirable and fitting. The epistle of Hebrews offers it. And Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 28 clarifies the superiority of Christ's high priestly sacrifice in contrast to the sacrifice of any other priest. So we view the passage for our insight and edification. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 28. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament or New Covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament or a covenant is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator is living. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God in our behalf. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have offered or suffered since the foundation of the world, or often suffered. But now once, in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, unto salvation. Though the author of Hebrews had clarified that Christ's death instituted a better covenant than that made by animal sacrifices back in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, he needed to explain why such a sacrifice was necessary. The word Greek word ananke appears a couple of times in verse 16 and 23. It means necessary. And he explains this in verses 15 to 23. The new covenant that Christ instituted is really a testamentary disposition, or like a will, in that, like human wills, all the arrangements are secured by the testator and its beneficiaries need only to accept its terms. So the author of Hebrews argued that the force of the new covenant depended on the death of Christ, who made it, that his death makes it take effect, giving believers eternal inheritance. This is another reason why we believe in justification by faith without works. The very form of the new covenant demands that the work for the benefits of this covenant come specifically and exclusively through the testator. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't offer anything to improve a testament. Salvation is by grace through faith. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," not of works on our part. All the work was done by Jesus on the cross. Now also the old covenant was instituted with the shedding of blood. For nearly everything except the flour offering by the poor involved bloodshed. For without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. This is because God is a righteous God. And as a righteous God, the punishment for sin is death. And so it required the death of the animals, and the animals actually looked forward to Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. So all of these sacrifices that occurred in the Old Testament, they were all looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And it's like God had built up everything on the credit card of God, and Jesus Christ had to pay off the balance at the cross for all the sins that had gone on in the past. And on top of that, he also created a debit card, and that's for future sins. That involves you and me. And, of course, Jesus Christ's payment on the cross is infinite, and so there's an infinite value added to God's debit card. But there's a credit card up to the cross. It acts like a debit card after that. It's amazing that the cross of Jesus Christ is complete. So it was necessary that Christ die. To institute the new covenant, for the heavenly tabernacle required the shedding of far superior blood to the shedding of animal blood for the earthly tabernacle. The earthly tabernacle was something that prefigured the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was just a type of that which was to come. You have to have the complete fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to have the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was without sin. So in ministering in the superior heavenly tabernacle, Christ's ministry through the high priestly sacrifice of his own blood as the Messiah was both necessary and vastly superior to that of the earthly priesthoods. It's interesting, this morning we had our communion service at the Lord's table, where we observe the Lord's table, and we bring up the truths that are found in the application that we're making to this message tonight, and this passage has a lot to do with it. About half of our people are formerly from the Roman Catholic background, where they were taught transubstantiation. They were taught that they partake of the Mass. In order to partake of that Mass, that is something that works towards their salvation. And every time the Mass is offered, Jesus is re-sacrificed. This is what is believed. It's also believed in the Lutheran Church through the doctrine of consubstantiation. And John Calvin taught his followers receptionism, which implies that there's an efficacious work in the Lord's table itself. We don't believe that. We believe that the Lord's table is sheerly remembrance, because the work of Christ on the cross was complete. And this passage shows that. Christ did not enter into the holy places made with hands, as did the priest of the old covenant. For the earthly holy places are mere figures of the true, original heavenly tabernacle, where he entered into heaven itself to appear in the visible presence of God the Father in our behalf. You'll recall earlier in the book of Hebrews, we discovered that Moses was given a pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern he saw on the mount. And so the tabernacle that Moses and the people of Israel made in his day was just a model of the real one, and the real one actually is in heaven. This is why in the book of Revelation you have a reference to the tabernacle that is in heaven itself. That's the original one, and that's the one that the Lord Jesus Christ used in our behalf when he went into heaven. Also, Christ did not offer himself repeatedly, as did the earthly Aaronic high priest, who entered the holiest of holies once every year on the Day of Atonement with the blood of animals. For then Christ would have needed to suffer repeatedly since the beginning of the world. Rather, Christ, once for all, you have the Greek word hapax. Hapax means once, period. And we would translate it once for all. And in fact, our closing song is going to be Once for All. We're going to be singing in reference to that. But Christ entered once for all, hapax, at the end of the ages, and he appeared to put away sin by the one sacrifice of himself. Jesus Christ does not have to be sacrificed every week as in a Mass, or in whenever it's celebrated or the Lord's table is held that way. Jesus Christ offered himself, period, once. He died once. He rose from the dead once. He ascended and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, because his work on earth was done. Praise God, it's a finished work. Now, what's interesting is that Christ, once for all, will appear at the end of the ages, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Then, as it is appointed unto men once for all, you have hapax again, to die, but after that the judgment, so also Christ, having been offered once, hapax is, this is the third time it appears, once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. And the word second indicates once is indeed once. But the second time he appears, not to deal with sin, because sin was dealt with, but he appears physically to save those believers in the consummation of their salvation as they eagerly await his return. Our bodies have yet to be saved. Our bodies, this is why Christians get sick and die and we age. It's because the redemption of Christ has not been applied to the body. It will be applied to the body at the rapture of the church. And that's what we're looking forward to. You'll notice here it's appointed unto men once to die. That denies the doctrine of reincarnation that some people teach. The people, you die, and then you, if you didn't live a good enough life, that you get to come back in another form and you live again and again and again. No, it's appointed unto men hapax, to die once for all. You have one chance, one life. And what you do in regards to this life in reference to Jesus Christ determines what's going to happen to your soul in eternity. This is why we preach the gospel like we did this morning. And every time we do present the gospel, we urge people, make that decision now. Make it today, because you don't know if you have another week. You don't know if you have another day. This may be the last day of your life on earth. And so we would urge you to make that decision immediately, because there's death, and then right after that, there's the judgment. There's the accountability before the Lord. So the lesson is, Christ's high priestly sacrifice was necessary for instituting the new covenant, because that covenant is a testamentary disposition that is secured by the testator, and its beneficiaries need only accept its terms. And a covenant demands the death of Christ, who made it to provide an eternal inheritance for us believers. Second, Christ also had to die to provide for a better sacrifice than that of animals, to atone in the heavenly tabernacle before God the Father, thereby providing his own shed blood and supplying that sacrifice. And three, Christ's sacrifice is thus vastly superior to the sacrifices of the Aaronic high priest or any other high priest or earthly high priest, for in offering himself he entered the holiest of holies in heaven once for all, his perfect sacrifice of himself fully atoning for all of man's needs to satisfy the righteous demands of a holy God. Accordingly, Christ will appear a second time, not to deal with sins, for those sins have been already fully positionally handled in his one sacrifice. Rather, he will appear a second time physically to save those believers who await for his deliverance from this world of sin. And that's what we're looking forward to, the coming of our Savior. So in application, a couple of points here. May we rejoice that the shed blood of Jesus Christ so fully atones for us that we have nothing to add to it to be saved, that we merely need to accept by faith his atonement in our behalf. Salvation is by faith and faith alone. Praise God. Second, may we rejoice that we do not need to offer animal sacrifice, nor that we have to rely on alleged repeat sacrifices of Christ in the Lord's table, as in Roman Catholic transubstantiation, Lutheran consubstantiation, or Calvinistic receptionism beliefs to handle sin. For Christ once for all positionally handled sin at the cross. And then three, may we realize that there's no reincarnation or second chance after this life to be saved, that we then believe in Christ for salvation in this life. And four, may we look forward to Christ's deliverance of us out of this world of sin unto heaven in his coming for us at the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting that today's communion service, and in our introduction just before the communion service, we go through the errors that have been taught in regards to the Lord's table, because we come from a wide variety of Christian heritages here at Nepog. We have people come from all sorts of backgrounds, and they've come to Nepog Church because we focus on the Bible. We want to get back to the Word of God and want to obey the Word of God and believe what the Word of God teaches. And so we go through the various errors and the misconceptions that have occurred so that we can all be on the same page with our beliefs in regards to the Lord's table. And the people know what I'm going to say. I've kind of memorized it from years gone by, but people share with me that they never tire of it because they were under bondage in other religious backgrounds from which they've come. And they said, Pastor, we can never get enough of the information that you're sharing, because It gives us the truth. It reverses the error that it was there. And it shows us the deliverance that we have in Jesus Christ. The salvation that we have in Christ is complete. We don't have to add anything. We can't add anything to it, thank God. And we would never be able to make it if we were to add something, because we would never be perfect enough to do so. Christ did it all for us. And so it's a privilege to be able to share a lot of this information with the congregation. And it's a privilege to be reminded once again of the tremendous salvation that is offered us in Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, it's all the work of God. It has nothing to do with us. It's all his work. All we can do is accept it. And if there's anyone here tonight, or anyone who's listening on the recording of this who has not yet accepted Jesus Christ, I would urge you, please make that decision to trust in Christ. The salvation is available. It's richly provided for you. All we need to do is to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I put my faith in Christ back in 1959. I was 11 years of age at the time. And it's never become something that is old. It's always refreshing to go back and remember when the Lord saved me. And I would hope that if you haven't made that decision, that you would trust in Christ and have newness of life in him.